Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A low-pressure system likely to develop off the coast of Florida will move up toward North Carolina this weekend. I'll show you what the chances are that it'll be a tropical storm.
An off-duty officer is recovering after being shot at a gas station, and another person is injured. We're live with new information about the investigation.
Also, Congress is inching closer to a government shutdown, the major sticking point at the center of the budget battle.
A coastal low will move up the coast of North Carolina late this week. Here's a live look at Carolina Beach, where you can see the surf is a little rough, but plenty of sunshine. It's going to look very different this weekend. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Thanks for joining us. We will see wind and rain from this system here in our viewing area. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at the best time for outdoor plans this weekend.
It looks like Sunday is going to be the drier day as this low starts to develop off the coast of Florida and push northward. The things that are new today about this is it looks like it's going to be moving a little faster. So its arrival on Friday is quicker, but its departure on Sunday is a little quicker too. And that's good for folks that have outdoor plans. It doesn't look like the whole weekend's going to be a washout. But of course, today's Wednesday, and we're talking about Saturday into Sunday. So keep checking back because things could change. Here's what we're looking at right now. The potential for this system to develop, it's only a 30% chance that it develops into a tropical depression or a tropical storm. But we take a look at that as we check out the probability. And it starts Friday morning there at about zero. But watch how it grows through the weekend. And we get it up to about a 40% chance on this version of FutureCast. And you can see sitting there around Wilmington and then up toward the Outer Banks. We have the potential for this to bring lots of rain starting on Friday. That rain is going to start at the coast and push inland. And it's likely to be wet for most of our viewing area by the evening commute on Friday. That low will gradually move up the coast. This is 10 a.m. on Saturday. You can see the rain across our viewing area, but by the evening, it's starting to taper off, and that low is moving quickly out of the area. Notice Sunday, though, at 6 p.m., there's still a little bit of lingering rain, but the bulk of the rain with this is likely to be Friday afternoon through Saturday afternoon, and then we begin to see some improving conditions. We take a look at what we're expecting on Saturday. 30 to 35 mile per hour gusts, rain in some places, 1 to 2 inches. That will highly depend on how far east or west you live, and it will be much cooler with a high temperature around 70 degrees. Coming up, we'll go town by town and talk about how much rain you'll see where you are.
A domestic dispute at a gas station ended with two people being shot. One of them was an off-duty Dunn police officer. It happened at the Handy Hugo's on Ramsey Street in Cumberland County. WRAL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays is live now from the sheriff's office with new information about the shootings. Gilbert.
Well, Renee, you know, I've talked with investigators and they say that domestic violence disturbance calls are the most dangerous because the emotions are high. They don't know what weapons they're going to encounter. In this case, that off-duty Dunn police officer was actually inside the store and saw the disturbance unfold in front of him, and he tried to calm that down. Now, as you can see, the windows of this store were shattered pretty badly. Investigators say around 10 last night, a man and a woman got into an argument inside the store. The off-duty Dunn officer tried to calm things down, but things only got worse. We're told that the man and woman left the store, and that's when the shooting started.
It started inside the store and then went outside. Once the other person was outside, the off-duty officer was still inside the store, and that's when the gunfire exchanged.
Now, we're told the suspect fired into the store first, and that's when the Dunn police officer returned fire. And you can see the bullet holes that riddled the building and shattered the window. Now, both the officer and the suspect in this case were taken to the hospital. We're told by the police chief in Dunn, I spoke with her this morning, Carrie Jackson. She says that her officer was treated and released. He's recovering now. He's going to be okay. The suspect in this case, though, is still in the hospital. And Renee, we're told he's going to face a slew of charges once he's released.
Gilbert Bays reporting live from Fayetteville.
And then 30 minutes after that, Cumberland County deputies responded to two people being shot at the Cumberland Towers apartments on Cumberland Creek Drive. We're told those shootings were also the result of a domestic dispute. Investigators say an ex-boyfriend came to an apartment and found his ex-girlfriend with another man. We're told the ex-boyfriend shot that man in the leg and then chased the woman who had run away and shot her as well. Both victims received non-life-threatening injuries. So far, no charges have been filed. Firefighters in Johnston County say no one was injured in a fire at a mobile home this morning. This was the scene from Sky 5 on Woods Crossroads, and that was just off State Highway 242. You see the smoke from those flames. The fire started just after 7 this morning and destroyed the mobile home there and a storage building next to it. The fire chief says the mobile home was recently abandoned. No word on a cause.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we want to take you live out to Durham right now, where Durham City Councilwoman Monique Holsey-Hyman is speaking at Durham City Hall after she was exonerated. Holsey-Hyman was accused of offering her support for a project in exchange for campaign donations, but the SBI says that it found no evidence of extortion or bribery. Monica Casey is there right now. She will have a live report with more on this coming up at 12:30.
Michelle, thanks. State lawmakers have reached a deal on the budget after removing the controversial expansion of gambling from the plan. The House and Senate plan to vote on the $30 billion budget tomorrow and Friday. Medicaid expansion remains a key part of this budget deal. But the gambling component had caused a rift among Republicans, making it impossible for them to reach a deal. Senate Majority Leader Phil Berger tells WREL leaders decided they could no longer let casinos hold up the other key issues.
Has raises for our state employees, has additional compensation for our teachers, has a bonus for our retirees. It also has needed funding for water and sewer projects and other projects all across the state of North Carolina.
The raises for teachers are 4% over the next 2 years. For state employees, it's 3%. Legislative leaders say they expect the budget to pass with the support of all Republicans and some Democrats.
Negotiations aren't going quite as well on Capitol Hill. All signs point to a government shutdown at the end of the month as lawmakers failed to come together on a defense spending bill. Aisha Hosni explains the latest issues.
The clock is ticking as House Speaker Kevin McCarthy races to sell his members on a plan to keep the government running. The short-term spending bill from moderate Republicans would temporarily cut all funding by 1%, except for the military and veteran services. It was endorsed by the leader of the conservative House Freedom Caucus, but he's having trouble getting other conservatives on board.
I do expect a government shutdown, and what a lot of people may not understand, it's not necessarily the end of the world. The vast majority of federal workers will be essential, deemed essential, be going into work.
It is all about the math for McCarthy. He can only afford to lose 4 votes without having to rely on Democrats for help, a move that would make him vulnerable to a leadership challenge. And with less than 2 weeks to go before the government runs out of money, mainstream Republicans are pressuring rank-and-file conservatives to take the deal.
This is a very small group that says they want more, but are willing to actually have us spend more money rather than less money by shutting down the government.
Meanwhile, the White House is lashing out at Republicans over the stalemate, claiming McCarthy is, quote, beholden to the far-right ideologues in the House.
They're back at it again, breaking their commitment, threatening more cuts and threatening to shut down government again this month.
That was Aisha Hosni reporting, and the White House also issued a short message this morning blaming the problem on what they call extreme House Republicans consumed by chaos.
Today, the Federal Reserve will wrap up its benchmark meeting that will give us all a better idea of how the U.S. economy is doing. The Fed plans to release new projections at 2 this afternoon that will likely show a stronger economic growth. It's also expected to show slightly lower unemployment rates this year. Interest rates are expected to hold steady, at least for now. However, the Fed is likely to weigh another rate hike for later this year as we continue to battle inflation. A big economic wild card is rising gas prices, which we've all noticed over recent weeks. The U.S. Attorney General defended the Justice Department at a congressional hearing this morning. Merrick Garland told a House Judiciary Committee the DOJ is politically neutral and works for the American people, not a party or branch of government. Both parties have expressed dissatisfaction with Garland's leadership. He also answered questions from the panel about the cases against both Hunter Biden and former President Donald Trump.
Next at noon, 10 years after their son was found rolled up in a gym mat at his Georgia high school, his parents are still looking for answers. Some of the inconsistencies that led them to file a federal lawsuit.
Plus an update on rebuilding the spire at Notre Dame when the head of restoration wants that scaffolding gone.
And as we told you in the Live Center just a few minutes ago, a Durham council member cleared by the district attorney, and the SBI is telling her story. We'll bring you more of her remarks coming up in our next half hour.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
It's been 10 years since a Georgia teen was found dead, rolled up in a gym mat at his high school. The family of Kendrick Johnson is suing multiple law enforcement agencies for $1 billion. His parents say they want justice for their son and are prepared to take up their fight to the U.S. Supreme Court. Bobeth Yates has the story.
They killed the wrong child, but they got the right parents, because we're going to continue to keep fighting.
Jacqueline Johnson and her husband Kenneth say they will not stop until they get the truth. They say they want to know what really caused the death of their son, Kendrick Johnson. He was discovered rolled up in a gymnasium mat in 2013 at Lowndes High School, and the cause of death was ruled accidental.
Sheriff Ashley Polk said there was no bruising on Kendrick's face. There were no bruising on his body. We pulled pictures from the crime scene photos that they gave us. The only things can make those marks is a taser or a stun gun.
During a news conference Tuesday, the Johnson family and their attorney pointed out several other inconsistencies they say are documented in a 47-page lawsuit that was filed in federal court against the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, the Lowndes County Sheriff's Office, and the medical examiner.
For example, two shoes in the mat that supposedly Kendrick was reaching for when he fell. Well, the evidence that they collected and all the statements that they made to the press was it was one shoe. So clearly they fabricated the diagram in the synopsis.
And the $1 billion lawsuit alleges a cover-up.
What the Johnsons want is a full and fair opportunity to litigate, and that's what the Constitution allows.
That was Bobeth Yates reporting. In response to the lawsuit, the GBI and Lowndes County Sheriff's Office say they conducted a very thorough investigation and stand by their original findings.
Opening statements began this morning in the first trial in the death of Elijah McClain. McClain was placed in a chokehold and injected with a powerful sedative in August 2019. He went into cardiac arrest and died a week later. Two officers, a former officer, and two paramedics in Aurora, Colorado, are charged with manslaughter and negligent homicide. They have all pleaded not guilty. There are new calls to fund Tennessee State University for years of back pay. The U.S. Department of Education says the state owes the HBCU $2.1 billion in state funds. It stems from TSU being a land-grant college, which is a research-based school in the state that has extensions with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The University of Tennessee is a land-grant college as well. Both schools should receive the same funding, but TSU did not.
It's back to the drawing board for the makers of a nasal spray for people who suffer from severe allergies. Earlier this year, an independent branch of the FDA recommended the approval of needle-free epinephrine made by ARS Pharmaceuticals. But yesterday, the agency requested additional information about Neffy, as it's called, including more research on repeat dosages of the drug. If approved, it would be the first product of its type. One in four Americans over 65 don't have any health insurance coverage. Particular risks include ineligible older Hispanics and lower-income people who can't afford Medicare premiums. Medicare eligibility requires U.S. citizenship or permanent resident status.
A Paris landmark should be looking as good as new in time for next summer's Olympics. The head of reconstruction wants the scaffolding around the spire at Notre Dame Cathedral gone by July. Reconstruction of the cathedral is turning into its own tourist attraction. Locals and tourists have flocked to see carpenters, stonemasons, and stained glass artists showcasing their craftsmanship at the foot of the cathedral. Tonight, we will find out if the 82nd Airborne Division All-American Chorus moves on to the next round of America's Got Talent.
I am here. Hey. I am here. Ooh. All of this is wrong, but I'm still right here. Right. I don't have the answers, but the question is clear. Let me ask you.
The group performing one of Pink's newest songs, I Am Here. This was their first live performance on AGT as they try for that $1 million prize. But just like last time, they had the entire room on their feet, the audience and the judges giving them a standing ovation and glowing reviews. Only two of the 11 acts will make it to the finals. Tune in at 8 right here on WREL to see if they advance to the finals.
Tickets are now on sale for the Triangle's newest walk-through holiday light event. The DBAP will be transforming into Woolly Bull's Winter Wonderland, bringing joy and holiday fun to families and friends across our viewing area. It all happens November 22nd through New Year's Eve. You can enjoy shopping, get your picture with Santa, or take a ride on the holiday train. To purchase tickets, visit WRL.com and enter Wonderland in the search bar to learn more. 96 days now. We said 97 yesterday, so the countdown is on, I guess.
Right now, we're enjoying our pre-fall wonderland with these gorgeous temperatures and gorgeous views. I want to be out on the lake right now, Elizabeth.
Yeah, this is, I think, what everybody's thinking about. Kind of hard to get your mindset around thinking about the holidays already with this kind of weather out. Beautiful Lake Gaston. This is a view from the Point Restaurant. Just gorgeous blue sky. It feels great out there. 81 degrees with a dew point of 56. As long as we can keep that dew point down in the 50s, that means that it feels really comfortable. It climbs into the upper 60s and it starts to feel steamy, but that 56 is a great looking number. We'll likely hit 84, which was our high yesterday, and we drop into the 70s as a lot of folks are headed home, so it's just going to be one of those gorgeous days. Right now it's 77 in Roxboro, 82 in Rocky Mount, 80 in Goldsboro, 80 in Southern Pines, and 81 in Clinton. So nice out there. Again, hitting 84 in Raleigh today, 83 in Durham, and 85 in Fayetteville. Let's take another look at this potential tropical system. There's a chance that it becomes either a tropical depression or a tropical storm, but the end doesn't really make that much difference. No matter what, it is going to spread rain across our area, and the wind is going to start to pick up during the day on Friday. Tomorrow's still nice and quiet, but we will see increasing clouds. Then we'll see that rain spreading eastward from the coast on Friday. By Saturday evening, it's really beginning to taper off a good bit, and then it moves on out and off the coast as we get into the day on Sunday. And even though the low itself may be fairly far away by Sunday, there may be enough lingering moisture in the afternoon for a few pop-up showers in a couple of places. As we get a little bit closer, we get our high-resolution models in, and we'll have a much better chance or much better idea of the timeline of that. But the big picture or the big takeaway from today is definitely the system is moving faster. So keep checking in, and we'll keep fine-tuning that timeline, let you know if that's the trend that continues. Rainfall is up a little bit on our brand-new run of the computer model, looking at maybe half an inch to an inch to an inch and a half around the triangle, and easily an inch to 2 inches in our eastern counties where they're closer to the low itself. The wind likely to be anywhere from 25 to 35 miles per hour in terms of wind gusts, and of course that'll be a lot higher along the coast around the Wilmington area. 35, it could be as high as 55 along the outer banks, closer to where the center of circulation will be from this system. So we take a look at our weekend overview. We'll start to see the rain rolling in during the afternoon. Winds beginning to gust 30 to 35. It's going to be a cool, wet day on Saturday. That rain may taper off late in the afternoon into the evening, but it will still be gusty. And then Sunday, that low moves away from us. We could still see some lingering cloud cover and maybe an isolated shower. Benson Mule Days this weekend. Tomorrow looks fine. We may see some increase in our cloud cover, but tomorrow stays dry with a comfortable high of 82. Of course, Friday afternoon and Friday night look wet. We'll see a high Friday of 78. It's also going to be pretty windy. And Saturday, we'll see rain at least through the middle to latter part of the afternoon. And then Sunday looks noticeably drier with a high of 75. Still may be a little bit cloudy. We are a proud community partner of that event. Hopefully we'll be able to get out and enjoy activities around our area on Sunday. Saturday is the first day of fall, and it will definitely feel wet, cool, and windy. After that, some improvement, especially early next week. Coming up, we'll take a look at whether or not these winds could cause some power outages.
Elizabeth, thanks. Today on our news, starting at 4, need a new car without the new car price? A lease may be your best bet. 5 Underside shows you the key points to negotiate to save you the most money.
And for the first time in 10 years, Raleigh is updating its big picture for parks and greenways, the city's goals and how you can weigh in on achieving them tonight at 6. Meantime, still ahead this noon, no line, no waiting. Amazon rolls out clothing that allows you to pay for your purchases without stopping at the checkout line.
Plus, don't make that grilled cheese just yet. After the break, why Kraft is recalling thousands of cases of cheese slices. Welcome back. Here's a live look at Beaufort. Gray skies, but temperature-wise, feeling fabulous out there. You're watching WRAL News, available on Hulu and the WRAL app on your TV or streaming device.
The Kraft Heinz Company is recalling 83,000 cases of cheese slices over potential choking hazards. The recall affects individually wrapped Kraft Singles American processed cheese slices. A wrapping machine problem caused a thin strip of film to remain on the cheese even after the wrapper has been removed. The recall is for 16-ounce products and 3-pound multi-pack products with the best-by dates of January 2024. Return it to the store for a full refund. Short on time but need to stop at the grocery store? No problem. Amazon is updating its automated checkout system that allows customers to pay with clothing without waiting in line. This system uses radio frequency ID, RFID, to track apparel. An exit gate scans the tags, rings up the bill, and customers scan their credit card or wave a palm over an Amazon scanner when exiting. The technology is expected to be at travel retailers, sports stadiums, theme parks, convenience stores, and college campuses.
Students and alumni from several HBCUs will be in Durham today working to advance their careers. Toshiba is hosting a job fair today in recognition of National HBCU Week. It's taking place until 4 today at the company's headquarters in Durham. Participants will learn about opportunities in STEM careers, HR, finance, and other fields. New data shows that Raleigh is one of the cities in the U.S. with the most remote workers. An American Community Survey shows the top five cities with the largest amount of people working from home are all tech hubs. They are Raleigh, Boulder, Austin, San Francisco, and Seattle. Census data also shows that the share of people who work remotely has tripled, both nationwide and here in Raleigh, since before the pandemic.
And happening right now in the WRAL Life Center, 17 American soldiers accused of smuggling and distributing synthetic marijuana have been detained in South Korea. Police say it was brought into the country through the U.S. military's postal service, and the arrest came after search and seizure operations at least two U.S. military bases. Now, officials say over the course of the year, they allegedly sold, distributed, and used the drug, which is illegal in South Korea, and those convicted could face prison sentences of 5 years to life. Now, all U.S. soldiers have returned to base, and the U.S. Forces Korea said it was aware of the investigation.
Google is extending the lifespan of its Chromebooks after school systems said they weren't cost-effective. A Wall Street Journal report says Google will provide its Chromebooks with automatic software updates for 10 years. This is under a new policy after some school systems expressed their concerns that the laptops didn't last long enough. Some districts had to spend millions on replacements because of the expiration dates. The new policy starts next year. If your child plays Fortnite, you could be owed part of a government settlement. Players can now apply for a portion of $245 million that carry-based Epic Games agreed to pay to settle a complaint from the Federal Trade Commission. The FTC said Fortnite duped players into making unwanted purchases and made it easy for children to buy items without parental consent. The agency will send notices out to players soon.
A Durham City Council member accused of bribery and extortion is talking this noon after the SBI cleared her name. Monique Holsey-Hyman is wrapping up a news conference at this hour. Hear what she had to say next.
And a gun found at a Wake County elementary school renewed the conversation around safer schools. What leaders are doing today to tackle questions of security. That's next at noon. And hear your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Safety concerns are on the rise for parents, students, and teachers in Wake County. This all comes after a gun was found at an elementary school recently.
WRAL's Kelsey Coffey tells us this morning school leaders will discuss ways to keep everyone safe.
Wake County school leaders will meet later today here at the board to talk about how to keep your students safe in the classroom. This is a topic of conversation that's always been top of mind for both parents and school leaders, but it's come to the forefront even more recently. Just last week, a student brought a gun to Leadmine Elementary in Raleigh. School administrators say the child didn't intend to hurt anyone, but a woman is facing charges for helping the child bring that gun to school. Last spring, dozens of threats were made against schools in Wake County, and multiple guns were found on school campuses. Today's meeting also comes after a move from the district this school year to create a new visitor management system. So now, whenever visitors come to campus, they have to check into an iPad and get a quick background check before they're allowed to enter the school. And this meeting is closed to the public because school leaders will have to discuss confidential security measures. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News, and Carrie.
Also today, UNC's Director of Student Affairs will speak at a meeting of the state's Safer Schools Task Force. This comes after the deadly shooting on UNC's campus last month and the gun scare that happened there 1 week ago. Both situations resulted in lockdowns on campus and have raised concerns about mental health and trauma among students.
Raleigh City Council has selected developer Omni Hotels and Resorts for a luxury hotel that's coming to downtown. A 550-room hotel will feature a rooftop pool, spa, and meeting space. It'll be built between the Convention Center and Martin Marietta Center for Performing Arts. The Raleigh Convention Center says it lost 64 events over 3 years because there just weren't enough hotel rooms nearby.
They have the experience, and I think when you get a product like Omni that comes into your city, it makes a huge statement in the convention and meetings market. Everybody loves Omni. They have a great reputation, and I think it really speaks to what the type of hotel that we were trying to secure.
City Council is also putting $400,000 toward negotiations with Omni. The city expects the luxury hotel to open in 2027. It'll be the first Omni in the Triangle.
The organizers of Raleigh's Christmas parade are asking the city to reconsider allowing vehicles and floats. The executive director of Shop Local Raleigh made the appeal to City Council. Last Thursday, city leaders denied the parade's permit, citing safety and legal concerns after an out-of-control pickup truck pulling a float killed an 11-year-old dancer during last year's parade. A day later, last Friday, they compromised to allow the parade, but without vehicles or floats.
What we've put in place for requirements and regulations will be much more comprehensive. The safety, the level that we're presenting, we're prepared to handle that and to have safety consultants on site to do those inspections. And I think having permitted other events that don't meet those requirements and regulations, it just sets a very unfair precedent in the city.
Other requirements parade organizers are asking the city to put in place include safety inspections the day of the parade and a minimum age of 21 for drivers. The driver of the pickup truck last year was only 20 years old. With or without floats, we will be there. You will be able to watch this year's parade live right here on WREL. It will be Saturday, November 18th, starting at 9 a.m. This will be the 50th year of broadcasting the live parade on WREL.
Do you remember your kindergarten teacher? A lot of us do. It's just one of those names that sticks with you for life. WRL's Brian Schrader introduces us to our teacher of the week, who appreciates the responsibility of being her student's first teacher.
I saw a red cow looking at me.
Heather Renault's father taught at a Wilson County elementary school for decades, and she knew she wanted to follow in his footsteps.
And I loved coming into the classroom with my dad and just interacting with the kids.
And black way.
So he's all brown.
Renault went to UNC Wilmington, and now she's starting her sixth year teaching kindergarten at Rock Ridge Elementary School.
They come in, a lot of students don't know how to write their name, may not know all their letters, they may not know how to count, and then by the end of the school year, they're writing names, they're writing stories, they're reading books, and it's amazing. It's so rewarding, and that's what keeps, I think, not just me, but all teachers, that's why we keep coming back and doing what we do. All right, who comes after the green duck?
The district named Renault Wilson County's Teacher of the Year. And she realizes that she has a special place in these students' lives as their very first teacher.
All kids need somebody that believes in them. And so I have the privilege as a kindergarten teacher to be their first school experience. I'm sorry, it makes me emotional when I talk about it, but I take it very seriously.
Heather Renault?
Yes.
Hey, I'm Brian Schrader from WREL. You are a teacher of the week.
Oh my goodness.
Congratulations.
Thank you so
Heather
much.
Renault is WREL's teacher of the week. I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
Applause for Ms. Renaud.
The passion and emotion, I love it. You can look at all our honored teachers and nominate a teacher you'd like for us to recognize by going to WRAL.com and enter Teacher of the Week in the search box. Next at noon, a live report from Durham, where a city council member accused of bribery and extortion just spoke. Monique Holsey-Hyman's first comments after the SBI cleared her name.
And let's celebrate mules. The festival focusing on the draft animal draws thousands to Benson. That's happening this weekend. A live interview coming up about the fun in store for the whole family.
Breaking news this half hour. Durham City Councilor Monique Holsey-Hyman spoke publicly for the first time just moments ago about the extortion allegations against a developer.
That developer alleged she had offered him her vote for his project in exchange for his support of her campaign. And she says it never happened. WRAL's Monica Casey was at the news conference where the councilwoman just spoke. Monica, I'm sure she had a lot to say about this now.
She did. Councilmember Holsey-Hyman was surrounded by supporters here, including Mayor Elaine O'Neill and Councilmember Deidreana Freeman. Many people who are running for office in this upcoming election, including Mike Woodard, Nate Baker, Charlita Burris, and Sherry Zann Rosenthal, were also here to support her. Holsey-Hyman says these allegations have upended her life, but she says she knew the truth would come out.
My ethical character has never been questioned at all until Jared Eden's refusal to cooperate with the FBI and the SBI. As someone who dearly cares for Durham, my sole aim has always been to serve the wonderful people of Durham. This experience has enforced my determination. My unwavering passion for service and for love for the city and the eagerness to contribute to the city in a positive manner will never go unchanged.
Now, in her memo, the Durham District Attorney says the developer who made that allegation, Jared Edens, did not cooperate and provide an interview or even a written statement. At today's press conference today, the mayor says she believes this investigation never should have risen to the level of involving the SBI. She believes it could have been resolved quickly simply with attorneys. Holsey-Hyman is running for re-election in this upcoming cycle. Renee?
Monica Casey, live in Durham. We appreciate it.
Yeah, cleared and clearly vocal about it. A jam-packed weekend is getting started in Benson. A Mule Days Festival organizer will join us live to tell us about the planned activities from the Mule Show to the Carnival and everything in between. Plus,
you won't regret any pictures you ever take in Arizona.
People are heading to a specific mountain range in Arizona, the image they're looking to capture in the shadows of the mountain.
It's an exciting week for Benson as the Mule Days Festival kicks off tomorrow and runs through Sunday. The four-day festival includes rides, vendors, parades, food, and much more. Loretta Bird from Benson's Chamber of Commerce joins us now to tell us what we can expect. Loretta, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Certainly. So much packs into these Mule Days. What should people know, let's say, if they've never been there before?
I would say come for the whole weekend and just walk the streets. One of our great attractions that we've added is a tour of the mule stable, the last mule stable left standing in Benson. We have wagon rides, wonderful rodeos on Friday and Saturday night, concerts in our singing grove or in the park within our town, and it will go on rain or shine.
And you have done this for years. You've got it down there in Benson. For those who have been there before, what about some of the new attractions this year?
This year we have added a junior rodeo on Sunday afternoon, so you can get to see the little ones, ages probably 4 all the way up to 18, can compete in the rodeo. And we are adding, we've added some things to our parade. Meaning WRAL will be there riding a float on Saturday morning.
Absolutely. Some of our colleagues will definitely be there for it. The festival, as I mentioned, has been around for a long time. This is the 74th year. What can you tell folks about some of the history of the event, the inspiration behind it?
The inspiration was that, well, it started, the first two was 1950, of course, and two local farmers realized that the use of mules was going to go away because the tractors were coming on the scene. So there was an event called Mule Days in Tennessee, and they visited that event, came back, and met with the Chamber of Commerce, and they started it, and it has just grown by leaps and bounds. It used to be a half-day celebration on Saturday, then they added Friday, then Thursday, and then Sunday. So it's all about heritage. It's about the farming community, because in the southern end of the county, as it's changing somewhat, but we've all been always been a rural area. Benson used to have 11 mule stables. It was a center of a trading for mules. The train would stop and unload the mules, and then they would go into different stables around town, and the people would come purchase them. So there's a lot of mule heritage here.
Yes, a deep heritage. And Benson Mule Days begin tomorrow, run through Sunday. And as you mentioned, Loretta, WRL Scott Mason, one of those folks there Saturday as parade judge. WRL is a proud community sponsor, so keep an eye out for our float in Saturday's parade. And we want to thank Loretta Bird for joining us this noon. Loretta, thanks. Have a great event.
Thank you so much.
Certainly.
Now, if you're planning some outdoor activities for this weekend, in addition to Benson Mule Days, you may want to check out a national park. The National Park Service is waiving all entry fees on Saturday for what it calls National Public Lands Day. There are more than 400 national parks across the country. Many of them charge admission. Here in North Carolina, Wright Brothers National Monument is the only national park with an entrance fee. So Saturday, you can get in for free. Be sure to watch our Tar Heel Traveler special tonight at 7:30. Scott Mason and photojournalist Sean Braswell take us up and down the coast, featuring our state's many lighthouses. They tell the fascinating stories of the structures that have dotted our coast for centuries.
And we're going to drag him in from the coast and hitch him up to the Benson Mule Days and let him judge the parade down there. He'll be busy, certainly. Well, we can't argue, free or not, this weather out here for us, just certainly awesome. And Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center with another look.
Enjoy it while we have it. You know, we are looking at, the potential for some rainy, windy conditions, especially Saturday. Sunday right now is looking like a dry enough day to be able to get outside and enjoy it. We'll talk more about that in a second. But so pretty out there, taking a look at Goldsboro, Apex, Chapel Hill, all with blue sky, just a few little puffy cumulus clouds. Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant, and of course, our newsroom there in Fayetteville. The next system coming our way, this low pressure system that will move up the coast. It is likely to be windy on Friday and Saturday, and there'll still be a little bit of a breeze on Sunday, but that low is really going to most likely kick on out of here pretty quickly late on Saturday. We're trending drier on Sunday, so that is good news for all the events around the area this weekend. You can see that rain pushing in. Here's 5 o'clock, so we're looking at wet conditions up and down the I-95 corridor by the evening commute, and most likely that's going to be the case for the rest of the viewing area too, as that band of rain pushes in. The low moves up the coast, wrapping the moisture around and keeping us wet for a good bit of the day. Saturday, there's lunchtime. Notice after lunchtime, between lunchtime and 6, gradually we'll start to see the rain diminishing. So if you do have plans after sunset on Saturday, there's a chance that the worst of the rain would be over by that point. This is Sunday morning, and you can see partly cloudy skies. And you see that low moving well up into the northeast. It's possible there'd be a pop-up shower on Sunday, but again, Sunday definitely looking drier than it was yesterday as this continues to move on up pretty quickly. We take a look at the weekend rain chances, looking at a 30% chance around lunchtime, then it really starts to go up in the afternoon and evening, 60%, Saturday, 60%, and then Saturday night, that's going to go down significantly with just a 20% chance on Sunday. Now, there is going to be some wind to go along with this, not a wind enough to do a lot of damage, but there could be some isolated power outages along and east of I-95. That's where our wind is likely to be closer to 35 mile per hour gusts around the triangle up to around 30 mile an hour gusts, even in Greensboro back to the west around 25. Wilmington up to 40 and then up to 50-55 right along the Outer Banks. And that's where we'd have the best chance of any power outages being. say from Cape Lookout down to Cape Hatteras. Wave heights, of course, it's going to be another weekend where we have high rip current danger, heavy surf, high seas, all of that. That starts Friday and lingers even into Sunday. Even though that low is going to move out pretty quickly, that rip current danger will still be around. It's not the only storm potentially out there. Of course, we have Nigel. Nigel, back down to a Category 1 storm at this point. It's just moving on up into the North Atlantic, fizzling out, so that's not going to be a problem for land. But this one definitely bears watching. 70% chance that this becomes Ophelia, moves westward, and then, of course, we'll be watching where it may go within the next week and a half. We got a long time to watch that. Friday will be cooler at 78. Saturday, pretty cool at 70. It's going to feel like 60s for most of the day, that pumpkin signifying the first day of fall. After Sunday, we warm back up into the 80s to start next week.
Pretty cool, as you said, Elizabeth. Thank you. A painting created in less than 30 minutes just sold at auction for nearly $10 million. Coming up, why it is so significant to Bob Ross's career.
But first, here's a look at the winning Mega Millions numbers.
We wrap things up right now with a look at a few of the headlines we are following for you today.
A domestic dispute at a gas station ended with two people being shot. One of them was an off-duty Dunn police officer. Investigators say the officer tried to calm the situation down before the shooting started. Authorities say the man involved in the dispute shot into the store, then the off-duty officer shot back. The man the officer shot is in critical condition. The officer is expected to recover.
Firefighters in Johnston County say no one was injured in a fire at a mobile home this morning. This was the scene from Sky 5 on Woods Crossroads, just off State Highway 242. The fire chief says the mobile home was recently abandoned. No word on the cause.
New in the last 30 minutes, Durham City Council member Monique Holsey-Hyman spoke publicly for the first time this morning about extortion allegations against her. The Durham District Attorney released a report with the results of the FBI investigation, clearing her of any wrongdoing. A developer had claimed that she had offered him her vote for his project in exchange for his support of her campaign, and she says it never happened.
An iconic Bob Ross painting just sold for nearly $10 million. The late painting teacher's piece called A Walk in the Woods sold for $9.8 million. The painting was from Ross's first episode, The Joy of Painting. It depicts a stone path, pond, and of course some happy little trees. It was painted in under 30 minutes. It's called Ross's most historically significant original work.
It is lovely. People are grabbing their cameras and racing to Arizona for a phenomenon that only happens about twice a year. If you look closely, you can see what everyone is looking at. So the sun projects a shadow on Superstition Mountain that looks like a cougar chasing its prey down the mountain. The site also draws people without a camera.
My wife found out about it on Facebook, and I said, you know, I lived here 14 years and never saw it, so why don't we go and check it out?
The shadow appears when the sun sets just right, and it usually happens the third week of March and third week of September.
It's pretty cool. Our pet of the day comes to us from Cat Angels NC. Winston, a six-month-old energetic fellow, loves to play with his brothers August and Nikolai. He's all about the action, but when it's time to wind down, he becomes a purring machine. Winston would be thrilled to go to a forever home with one or both of his siblings. If you're ready to welcome Winston into your life, you can just put in an application on the Cat Angels website.
Thanks for spending your noon hour with us. NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can always get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. And we'll leave you with this beautiful look at Beaufort right there. Here comes your boat there, Renee.
I'm coming.
Keep watching WREL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.